The reading this morning is written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 1 to verse 10, to be found on page 1173 in the Church Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Paul writes, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay, good morning. Okay, let's just pray again. Father, just thanks for what Dave said there. Just a reminder that you speak through your word. And I just pray this morning you would soften our hearts to hear what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a story is told of a fortune teller who approached a man and offered to tell him his past, his present, and his future for some money. And the man turned out to be a vicar. And he reached into his pocket, he pulled out a Bible, and he began to read these verses, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, to the slightly bemused lady, as you can imagine. And at the end he said, "You see, God's already told me what my past is, what my present is, and what my future is." And as you can imagine, the lady quickly realized she'd picked on the wrong person and scuttled away. Well, that vicar was absolutely right. And that's a summary of what we're going to be looking at today. As Christians, we do have a past, we do have a present, and we do have a future. And in this passage, Paul tells us what they were like, what our past was like before Christ, what our present is like in Christ, and what our future will be like with Christ. So let's start with our past. Very simply, we were dead. Have a look at verse 1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Now, the thing about being dead is there's very little that you can do to make yourself undead. You can't just rest for a bit, can you, and get better? You can't just will yourself to get undead. You're dead. I don't know whether you've ever seen The Princess Bride. I know Mark has. It's one of my favorite films. There's a classic scene in there where Miracle Max is trying to bring back the hero with some billows. And he says, "No, your friend here is only mostly dead." Well, you can't be mostly dead, can you? You're fully dead. And that's what Paul's talking about here. We were dead. So in what ways were we dead? I mean, before I became a Christian, I'm pretty sure I was walking around. I'm pretty sure I had thoughts and emotions and conversations. So in what way was I dead? Well, I was dead to what really matters, the true reality. I was spiritually dead, dead to seeing the gospel truth of what God has done in Jesus Christ. And note, that isn't just some people that's true for. It's true for everyone. We're all in the same boat. Paul makes that point here by pointing out that both Jews and Gentiles were all at one time gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. So maybe your past is squeaky clean, Maybe you became a Christian at a very young age and you've never really done anything particularly bad. Or maybe you're the complete opposite of that. For all of us, the shocking truth that Paul paints here is one of total spiritual deadness. That was our past. No pulse at all. In sync with the world. Blinded to the truth of the gospel. Dead in our transgressions and sins. I guess you could go and get some counselling, couldn't you, if you were dead? But you'd still be a well-adjusted dead sinner, wouldn't you? You could do a theology course, but you'd still be a well-educated dead sinner. You could even attend church every single week, but you'd still be a church-going dead sinner. Well, if all this sounds a bit bleak, Paul wants us to grasp the truth about our past situation, because if we don't, we won't grasp what is to come next. And the wonder of what Jesus did on the cross. You see, dead people need to be saved. They need a saviour. You know, a few years ago, I began to lose my sight in my left eye. It was just like this black curtain was coming across my eye. So my other eye isn't great, so it was a bit concerning at the time. So I rushed to Moorfields Eye Hospital in London, amazing place. And they looked at the eye and they confirmed that my retina was in the process of detaching and that I'd need an emergency operation right there, right then. And then I remember this guy kind of sheepishly coming out of his office and saying this to me. He said, "Do you know what? Usually we'd do this under a general, but I'm afraid our anaesthetist isn't here yet. And by the time he arrives, you'll have lost your sight." So he said, "We're going to do this under a local." So I had a 3-hour operation to reattach my retina where I was fully awake. And you know what? At the end, the surgeon says to me, "Well, it looks like we got that just in time and we're confident your sight should be okay." And do you know the overwhelming sense of gratitude that I had at that time? I literally couldn't stop thanking the surgeon. It was embarrassing because I realized what I'd been saved from. I'd been saved from blindness. Once your retina is detached, there is nothing they can do about it. They can't reattach it. So I'd grasped the seriousness of that situation. Well, Paul wants us to do the same here. We were dead, he says. That was our past. So let's come to our present. Verses 4 and 5. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." These are such wonderful verses. You know, if we're a Christian, the wonderful, the amazing gospel truth is that what we were unable to do ourselves because we were dead, God has done. He has made us alive with Christ. God didn't just give up on us. He didn't just leave us in our deadness. He came as our Saviour to save us and make us alive. And he's done this, Paul says, because he's rich in mercy, because of his great love for us. Even when we were trapped in that old life, even when we were unlovable, God loved us. He loved us when we were sinners. That's amazing, isn't it? It's nothing that we've merited. It's nothing we've deserved. It's by grace that we've been saved. Now, our past life was deserving of God's wrath, Paul says. But on the cross, Jesus paid for every single sin. God's wrath fully satisfied. God's one and only Son sent to die in our place. The debt fully paid. If you're in Christ, that is the wonderful news of your present situation. That really should make your heart burn this morning. I want you to note that your salvation isn't a joint project between you and God. It's not like you were stuck down some deep hole and God let down a rope and shouted down, "Come on then, pull yourself up," and you had to kind of like work your way up. For years, I actually think that was my understanding, that God had actually done his bit. He'd let down the rope and now I just needed to climb it. And maybe if I tried really hard and climbed that rope, maybe I could somehow work my way into God's favour. But you know what, from bitter experience, I know that I get a tiny bit up that rope and then I inevitably slip back. I'm just so weak, so prone to wander, The moment I do something good, it's followed by a massive failure. So if that is our understanding, that it's a joint project, I can guarantee that is going to be the way of failure, of guilt, more failure, more guilt, no peace, no assurance. But the truth is that our salvation is not a joint project. Paul reminds us that it is by grace that we are saved. Jesus is the one who saves. Jesus is the one who saves. Do you see how that changes everything? Do you see how freeing that is? Do you see that because he's fully paid the cost, we can be fully forgiven and we can be fully free of all that guilt that we carry around? Do you see that if it's not about our own efforts, but it's about the redeeming work of the one who is in total control, then we can have absolute assurance? Do you see that if the price he paid to save us was his very self, that the one who created all things died in your place, then it's impossible for you to stray too far from God's mercy and grace. God's amazing grace. Let's have a look at verse 6, because notice what else Paul says God has done. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice the tense there. This isn't a future thing. That's your present reality. Probably looking around thinking, this doesn't look much like the heavenly realm, does it? But that is the truth about your new life, your new identity, your new status. He's recreated you and seated you with him in the heavenly realm. Your home is no longer in this world. He's opened the eyes of your heart, as he prayed in the first chapter, to your eternal home. This isn't just some like vague picture. This is a real experience as well. A lot of people, actually, Christians, will say becoming a Christian is just like a light turning on. Suddenly realize that they were just wandering around in the dark, and now things just seem different. They can see gospel truth, gospel reality. Nothing earned, nothing merited, pure grace. And verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, God has a purpose for you. This grace, this free gift from God, it's not a license for laziness, or worse, to think that sinning doesn't matter. God calls us to a bigger purpose. Good works that he prepared beforehand. The working out of his grace in our lives leads to these good works, serving him. Not serving him as a means to earn anything. We've seen, haven't we, that we could never do that. But serving him because we've received such grace. We've been bought at such a great cost. Our hearts should just burn to do his will. Like, how could it not? So it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how well you know your Bible. Paul says we are God's handiwork. That literally means God's masterpiece. Think about that. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So that's our past. That's our present. Now let's have a look at our future in verse 7. Verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Just let that verse sink in for a second. Let me loosely translate it. God has saved us so that for all eternity he can shower us with blessings. You know, I used to think that actually being in heaven might be a little bit boring, that after 10,000 years, I might be a bit sick of singing that Matt Redman song. But God isn't scratching his head, kind of wondering about how he's going to keep us entertained. He's an infinite God. We will spend eternity discovering his incomparable riches, riches that are so great they don't compare to anything else. Each day, we'll just look through a new lens where we see more clearly, understand more fully the greatness, the love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. You see, we're just paddling in the seashore at the moment. One day we will plunge the depths. C.S. Lewis put it like this: your place in heaven will seem to be made for you and you alone, because you were made for it. Made for it stitch by stitch, as a glove is made for a hand. That's some future, isn't it? So we've seen that our past was one of deadness. We've seen that in our present, God has made us alive. And in our future, he's going to spend eternity showing us his riches. That is your story. That is my story this morning. Now, as we think about application from this, I was preparing this, I was just thinking of two areas in my life where I've fallen into traps that I think these verses help me with significantly. And the first one is this. The first one is the trap of self-righteousness. So to fall into the trap that believing that somehow I've earned it, that actually I'm okay, certainly compared to some other people. I haven't done anything too bad. I've generally tried to be good. I'm pretty respectable. If God's going to let anyone into heaven, then I reckon I'm pretty high up that list. But that isn't the gospel message, and it's a really, really dangerous trap to fall into. I see a microcosm of my self-righteousness the moment I get into my car, actually, and I become the most self-righteous person. The tiniest mistake by someone else, and I'm tutting, shaking my head, judging them. And yet when I do something wrong, well, they should have slowed down, shouldn't they, and let me out. It's their fault. Do you know, we'll know we've fallen into this trap when the gospel message of grace just leaves us cold. It doesn't excite us anymore. When we walk away from hearing God's message unchanged, when we find that we're just quick to take offense, slow to forgive, we don't welcome others into our church who aren't like us, stay in our own little group. You know, our heart becomes one of stone and not of flesh if we're self-righteous. It's so dangerous, because self-righteousness puts me on the throne of my life rather than Christ. It's dangerous because it creates a massive blind spot. Like, we think we're actually doing okay, but our hearts are blinded to the grace that we need. So what's the cure? Well, the cure is to humble ourselves and ask God's Spirit to show us the truth about our past, about our present and our future. Maybe go home and take these verses and just ask God's Holy Spirit to show you that. To show you the amazing grace that you've been shown. To show you your past, you were dead. To show you your present, God has made you alive. And to show you your future, he's going to shower you with blessings for all eternity. So if that's the first trap, the second trap that I've fallen into over the years is to believe that somehow we've wandered off the path just too far. That we've put God behind our backs, just like one time too many. That our past, it's just too broken, too full of addiction, too full of failure to be accepted by God. Surely when God looks at us, he just shakes his head in disappointment. Well, Paul reminds us in these passages that even when we were dead, God made us alive. God loved us when we were sinners. You see, God is for you. He's on your side. He's not waiting to trip you up. He's not waiting as soon as you do the smallest thing wrong to say, "Ha, I knew it, told you so." No, every single second that you were far away from him, he loved you. He loved you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. He gave everything for you. And I think my favorite story in the entire Bible is Luke 15 and the parable of the lost son. The son who turned his back on his father, wandered off to do his own thing. And then eventually, when he came to his senses and decided to come home, his father wasn't there just waiting to tell him off. No, his father was filled with such compassion. His father ran out, threw his arms around him, welcomed him home. You know, the God who is rich in mercy has made you alive this morning. He seated you in the heavenly realm with Jesus. It is by grace that you have been saved. Amen.